This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 97. It's time to help at saving, investing, protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to financial independence and retirement. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda. She's a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent. And we're so grateful you've joined us. Join our Facebook group at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. What's up, girl?
Hey, how's it going?
Loving life, man. I'm having a good time.
Yeah, you ready for Christmas?
Yeah. I'm keeping it very low key, like Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is super low key. Christmas, keep it super low key. So, not really doing much. Not even buying a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I feel like this is a very budget friendly year, isn't it?
It is, and thing is, I think a lot of people have been home so much that they've already bought things that they wanted or needed.
Yeah,
because you know, for whether comfort or they need it, so it's like, well, what do you get people now? So
yeah, it's a tough year.
I'm doing a lot of cash this year.
So do you want me to remind you what my address is?
I tried to send you a chair. You keep denying it.
Yeah.
Well, my chair is fine. She's so thrifty, guys. She's so thrifty. She even reminded me there was a sale, a Black Friday sale on the Secret Lab chair that I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she goes, oh, mine's fine. I'm like, so as a guy, Amanda, I'm like, okay, I don't know if that's a hint or not. What am I supposed to do?
No, I just thought it was cool that the chair that you love was on sale. So
I do like it. Yeah, I do like it. You wouldn't need the Titan I have. You would just need the Omega. And that's a compliment. We've talked about that. That means you're smaller.
Oh, thanks.
No, it's the chairs are based on your height and weight. So that would be a compliment when I tell a girl, oh, no, you only need the Omega. Oh, thank you.
Speaking of height and weight, yes. I had to see a nutritionist recently, and they did like this whole body analysis on me. And I've always been above average in terms of height and weight.
Okay.
And it's very frustrating because, you know, when you go just by body mass index, apparently, you know, everyone in the world is obese, right?
Right.
But when they do the actual analysis, I'm actually mostly muscle. So my composition was rated as what I think it was like sturdy build, something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, finally, someone acknowledges I'm not like super obese.
Wow. So basically you can kick my butt.
Yeah. My muscle composition is higher than average.
You are super active, though. I mean, let's be honest.
I try to be.
Well, you are. So, I mean, it's not like you're laying around watching Netflix all day. So.
No, just part of the day.
What do we do? On that note, Amanda, as a guy, I'm going to move on.
Yeah, I'm back to running 3 days a week like I used to be years ago. And
right.
Good a couple of miles every time I run. So it's good. Yeah.
Awesome.
So I just want to give encouragement to others out there who've only been ever analyzed based on height and weight that there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
Yes. And my waist size was like they measure or analyze, I guess, the amount of fat you have on your waistline because that's an indication of like heart risk or whatever. Right. And mine was lower than normal.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's like the most positive now. I've ever come out of one of those appointments ever. I'm like, yeah, hey, I'm actually okay.
So basically they said you're hot.
I guess. Yeah. Like. Muscular and smaller than normal waist are expected. But yeah.
Proud of you. I'm proud of you.
I was too, because finally you walk away not feeling bad about yourself.
Well, you shouldn't. You're very active. You're very successful. You do really well. Yeah. What are we going to do on this podcast?
Well, we are going to do a overview revisiting of the baby steps that we're always talking about. I've seen recently a couple people in our who have joined our Facebook group as newbies asking, well, what are these baby steps? Where do I find more information on that? So we're going to go over those again today. And then we've got a handful of social media questions. Okay. And some of them are related to the baby steps, as usual.
Isn't that, see how that works? It's such a great flow. We put a lot of time and effort into the prep of our shows.
Time. So
let's go over the baby steps, shall we?
Let's.
Baby step one.
Craig is a master, what do we say? A master certified
financial
something.
Coach. Yeah. Yeah. I did that, a year ago, right?
You did.
Yeah. I got trained under Chris Hogan, of all people. So I'm a certified master financial coach under the Dave Ramsey umbrella. But Chris Hogan, great guy, by the way. So I got trained under him. So let's go through the baby steps. I'll let you comment on each one, Amanda. Baby step one, save $1,000 for your starter emergency fund.
Why only $1,000, Craig? Aren't emergencies more expensive than that?
Oh, they are. However, in the history of the baby steps, these were developed by Dave Ramsey years ago. They found it. You typically start with baby step two, which we'll get to, which is paying off debt. They found by doing that, people were getting into trouble because they had no money saved because they were dumping it into debt. They created this step afterwards because people need some sort of a cushion. Historically, most emergencies are underneath $1,000. Many are. We're not talking about major emergencies. We're talking about a lot of smaller ones, but the $1,000.
Like unexpected car repairs, right, or repairing your AC unit.
Right. You can usually do all that under $1,000. Now,
getting
if you have
new
the
tires.
Stacking,
yeah.
Yeah. Now, if they stack up, that's a whole different conversation. So what will happen, Amanda, baby step two is the paying off the debt part. If you end up with an emergency, let's say an AC unit, $500 repair. Now your emergency fund is down to $500.
Yep.
You are now not in baby step two. We come back to baby step one. We have to keep $1,000 in there at all times.
Right.
So we go back to this baby step. You need to keep $1,000 available, liquid, as you say, not invested in stocks, in a bank account at any time that you need $1,000. It's there. So.
Right. Yeah, so we get a lot of questions on, well, where can I put my emergency fund where it can make money? The answer is no, you don't.
Yeah.
It's not going to make money. It's there for an emergency and that's it. It's not an investment. I've seen people give advice, well, put your emergency fund into opening a new business or a side hustle. Also, wrong. That is not an emergency fund. That's an investment. Emergency funds and investments are two different things.
Right. Baby step two, this is the biggest one, the one that typically takes the longest, Amanda, typically. Mm-hmm. Pay off all of your consumer debt, which is all your debt except the mortgage, the house, using the debt snowball.
And what does a debt snowball mean, Craig?
We list out all of our debts.
Smallest to largest.
Right. And so we list them all out on a spreadsheet or a napkin. I don't care how you do it. We list them all out, the balances, and whatever the minimum monthly payment is on all of them. We're going to pay all of our minimums on every single debt. Right, Amanda?
Yes.
But we're going to start and we're going to knock out the small ones first. Because small wins, Amanda, are amazing, aren't they?
Yes. You can celebrate them and then move on.
So let's say we owe our mom $100. That's a debt. That's a debt. You list them all out. You put your car on there, every credit card, your student loans, all that. If we went and started out with let's say $50,000 of student debt as your very first item, if we did reverse, it would take you forever to go through that. It's almost like losing weight. It gets frustrating, but what you like to see, I lost a pound today. I lost a pound this week. So it's the same way with the baby step two. If we pay off your mom the $100 first, it's like, whoop, there goes another one. It's gone. Now we're going on to the next size one, which may be, I don't know, $1,000 for a credit card. Now we're going to work on that one. So whatever the minimum was to your mom now carries over into the minimum of the next debt.
It rolls into the snowball.
It rolls in. So as we roll the debt snowball, all those minimums roll into the next minimum, next minimum.
The snowball gets bigger.
It gets bigger. And when you start delivering pizzas and other things to get more money to help make this go faster, it really speeds up. It accelerates. And until I show people in the coaching with a spreadsheet that I use to show them how just an extra $200 a month doing something on the side, how much that just accelerates it. It can change your debt from like a 5-year payoff down to literally 2. It's amazing how that it just rolls if you can do that. It's until they visually see it, they don't believe it. I was like, look how easy. They're like, oh, I can do that. But, you know, when you look at that mound of debt, Amanda, that hole, that big hole or whatever, sometimes it gets depressing.
Well, which is it, Craig? A mound or a hole? They're kind of opposite.
Well, I jumped to the hole because we also say, how do you take care of that hole, Amanda? Well, you need a bigger shovel, right?
Yes.
So, anyway.
To fill the hole, yeah.
To fill the hole. Yeah, I'm totally botched that. There you go. So that is the debt snowball. It's paying off all of your debt except the house. The house comes much later. We don't worry about that. What's baby step 3, Amanda?
So that's building up your emergency fund, 3 to 6 months minimum. Craig and I, of course, encourage at this time of uncertainty that you push more towards the 6 to 12 month period so that you have a substantial emergency fund to support you if or when the unknown happens.
And these are living expenses. So how do we figure out what our living expenses are for each month?
You're going to need a budget.
What?
Yeah, a plan.
That's not fun.
So yeah, it's 3 to 6 months of expenses, not income, that you need to save up. So hopefully your expenses are much lower than your income on a month-to-month basis. Right. You would know this by having a budget. If your expenses exceed your income, then you've got a big problem. You're just digging yourself further and further into this hole.
That's a different conversation. But yeah, it shouldn't be just not your income, because that would be hopefully much more difficult to do. Your expenses, your bare bone expenses that you can get down to live off of, that is what we're looking for. So that is not difficult to save up for if you're not paying debt. If you're debt free, you can save that up. A lot of people want to skip this, Amanda, to baby step 4 because that's more fun.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do that. And what is baby step 4, Amanda?
So baby step 4 is, this is where you get to start investing. You're going to invest. So again, you're not investing at all until you get to this step. But once you get to baby step 4, you're going to invest 15% of your household income in retirement. And that's the entire household income, not just one person's pay.
Okay, we got a couple things between 3 and 4 that we need to clear up because you brought up a great point. Until we are out to baby step 4, we don't care about company matches or anything. You do not do any investing for retirement. And people find this very hard to believe.
Yeah.
Most powerful wealth building tool is your income. If you are paying debt and you have interest being accrued on that debt, it doesn't seem, if you go back to third grade math and actually list it all out, you're actually costing yourself money while you're worried about a stupid company match or making a little bit of money on your S&P 500. You are actually losing more than you're making. You need to get rid of that debt first. And that baby step 3, that does not make money as an investment. It goes into a bank account, money market, whatever. It might make, a fraction of a percent?
As compared
to your 15% that we're putting into retirement, that is where we want to get at least 8 to 12% per year long term.
Right.
Yeah. So those two right there, people kind of fudge through that. They don't, because it's boring putting money into a savings account that makes no money while your company, your buddies at work are bragging about how much you're making in the S&P 500. But when something comes up, of an emergency expense like a furlough or a major car repair or whatever, they're the ones that are going to get, they're going to go back to their credit card and you're not, because you saved your money. And long term, you're the smart one and you will have more money. It's hard to believe that, people, but I can tell you from personal experience, emergency happened. I've done a roof to my house. I've done an HVAC. HVAC was $14,000. Roof was $15,000. I mean, where do you think that comes from?
Your emergency fund is my guess.
From your emergency fund. It does come from a credit card, because if I put that much on a credit card, how much do you think that roof now costs after that?
So, yeah, the interest rate's going to kill you.
Anyway, what's baby step five? This is your favorite.
It's my favorite.
Well, it's the one you have an issue. I agree with you on this 100%, by the way.
I don't have an issue with it. I have an issue with the order of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Good.
So number five, according to Dave Ramsey, is to save for your children's college fund. So this would be like in a 529 plan or some other vehicle dedicated solely for saving for your child's college fees. Now, Dave Ramsey puts this ahead of baby step number six, which is paying off your home early. I tend to think either you need to do them in parallel or you need to pay off your home early first, because I'm a big believer in taking care of yourself first before putting the mask on someone else as your plane's going down.
Right. And he does bring up the fact that you should be doing four, five, and six. You can do those simultaneously. Mm-hmm. So there gives him a little credit, but I think people also need to determine, is your kid really college material or what do they want to do in life? Because there's many careers that do not require a college education. So there's a little bit more thought into this than just saying, oh, I'm going to save for my kid's college. It's like, there should be a little bit of planning and thought putting into that process. If your child does not go to college or fails out in the freshman year, what happens to that money afterwards? Based on where you save that money, there are rules with what you can do with it afterwards. So you need to put a little thought into that, how you want to approach that in the future. So baby step six, that's your favorite.
Well, it's not as much fun, but it's nice when you're done with it. It's paying off your home early. Yeah, we talked about that.
And then and only then are you truly debt-free.
Yes, I would say baby step seven is my favorite. We build wealth and give. Build wealth, give, and enjoy. I think there's a third part there. Enjoy your money.
I think we can attest to, if you go through all these baby steps, even if you get up to baby step six, Amanda, I can even give credit for baby step six. If you're still paying off your house, but you were able to get one of these historical interest rates and did not overpurchase on your house, I need to include that portion.
Yeah, you don't want to be house poor.
Yeah, as long as you stay at the 25% of your income on the house. If you have no other expenses other than your water, electric, stuff like that, you're doing pretty good. It'd be nice to get that house paid off. But the feeling that you have where you don't have to worry about the money anymore, I don't even know how to describe that.
Yeah.
How about we take a quick break and we got a couple questions when we get back. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
Rock stars, Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to three qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Check out our website, rockonthemoney.com, and any podcast website you can think of, we are there. Just search for Rock on the Money. And if you don't have a podcast app, go find one. It's easy. It's in your Play Store or iTunes or whatever. And Yeah, download that sucker and you'd be surprised all the different podcasts are out there.
And yeah, or Alexa will play us for you, or you can go on our website.
Yep, Google Home. The website turns into an app when you just pulled up on your phone. You know, whatever. There's no excuse. No excuse. Mm-hmm. Wait till I unleash this podcast on all my gamers. I mean, Amanda, I had a reach of the last 20 days of 19 million people on Facebook.
That's insane.
I am shocked. I'm driving a truck around, Amanda.
Yeah.
I was looking at my stats
the other day. That sounds incredibly boring to me. I mean, I rode with my dad in his truck when I was younger.
Don't worry.
I fell asleep most of the time.
We call those trolls. They come into my room as I'm streaming all the time. They're like, this is so boring. But then now I can say, oh, that's funny. I have 120,000 followers. And I'll have like 5,000 people in there at that time watching me drive a stupid truck. Yeah, it makes no sense. Literally makes no sense. But actually, we have a lot of fun. It's more about the fun. It has nothing to do with the truck, actually. But it's getting through the people through the pandemic. It's a lot of weird stories in the background. A lot of people are hurting out there. And they're in there. It takes their mind off of what's going on is what's really happening. And
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's really...
What's the difference between that or watching like something that's going to kill your brain cells on Netflix anyway? Like the
absolutely.
Tiger King. So, by all means, people, you might as well have some sense of community.
And a lot of people in the room have made new friends on there and they're all chatting. So it's more about the community. The truck was the excuse. It's the community has become strong and it's only been 4.5 months and people have been streaming for years. Don't have this many people. It's I don't know what's happening, but it's fun. Anyway, that's my side gig.
There you go.
We have four questions here. Let's zip through them. You ready for this?
Yes, I'm ready.
We talked about this first one several times. I like this question. What are some jobs that pay good with no degree, at least $45,000 a year? My husband's job right now is kind of screwing us over, promising certain commissions and then cutting it in half. Any ideas? It sounds like they have a sales job.
I was going to say, it sounds like sales.
Yeah, I don't like those. I don't like sales.
Well, so sales, that's a really great skill set to have, though, and... just because the job he's in is not living up to what your expectations doesn't mean you can't go get a sales job somewhere else.
There's tons of sales jobs out there.
Every organization or business line has a sales
job. Right.
So that's a highly transferable skill set.
So,
but in terms of other jobs that you can have without a, well, so I'll tell you this, sales, if you're a successful salesperson, the commissions can be unbeatable in terms of income. So I don't know if you're going to find something else that doesn't require a degree or a certification of some. So when I hear the word degree, Craig, I consider that not just a college degree, but also like a community college degree.
Yeah.
Like the 2-year associates programs. So in my mind, those are also degrees.
$45,000 a year. There's many jobs that only need a high school diploma to get that.
Right.
So it really, that's such a broad question. You almost need to narrow that down to, well, what are you looking for?
Well, if you're in sales, you're probably also good at customer service. There are plenty of customer service positions out there, and I don't think any of them require any type of degree.
No.
You know, you can go into a call center environment. You can work frontline on something. But yeah, you just have to look at the skill set you have then and brainstorm on where that could transfer to.
Let's take fire department. I was starting salary of firefighters like $50,000.
Yeah.
High school diploma. There you go. Librarian is higher than $45,000. So it just depends.
I think librarian, you have to have a degree though.
That got it. I'll be a firefighter. Or I was. That's right. Question number two. I know baby step one is $1,000 emergency fund. Correct. Good job. Not that I need to use it, but just curious. Uh-oh. Here we go, Amanda. You ready?
Yeah.
What constitutes use of these funds? Car repairs, medical bills, girlfriend's excessive needs of Christmas presents for irrelevant people.
Irrelevant people.
Yeah, well, that's what they said. Well, it said girlfriend. They're not married.
Love this. This is the undertone here is that we are getting in the middle of a relationship spat.
Okay, let's just look at this now because I just realized it's girlfriend. I thought they were married. Girlfriend, that means, okay, your money's not combined at this point. So that's her $1,000 emergency fund, not yours.
Yeah.
So that would be number one. Let's assume they're married, though, Amanda. So number one, it's not your money. It's her money. She can do what she wants. That's up to you. Let's say they're married, Amanda. Mm-hmm. It sounds like if they were married, they would not be on the same page, because I would think, you correct me if I'm wrong, you should sit down and make a list together. Who are we giving presents to? Who are we not doing? And how much are we going to spend and budget that out?
Yeah, exactly. You have to be on the same page always.
Yeah, there you go. But it is for car repairs, medical bills. You know, depending on the medical bill, some of those may require payments, but it is for a true emergency. It seems like this is a frustrated person that threw a relationship thing at us. And yeah. I don't want to get it. Yeah. I like
absolutely.
It.
So, and I agree with you. Medical bills are not an emergency unless you're required to make a payment in order to get to receive the treatment that you need.
Right. Yeah. So car repairs, yes. Medical, probably not. It all depends. Yeah. As far as Christmas presents...
Christmas presents are 100% never an emergency.
Even for irrelevant people?
Especially for irrelevant people.
You like popcorn, right?
I do, yeah.
Has anybody shipped you popcorn yet? I have checked the mailbox. Question number three. That's a hint, people.
Because I'm irrelevant? Is that what you're saying?
No. You said like when we brought up gifts in my mail time, because I do mail time from Facebook.
I'm just saying, as soon as we talk about irrelevant people, you asked about whether or not I received gifts.
You know you're not irrelevant to me. Then question number three, I would love to see what $10,000 or cheaper vehicles that are getting everyone towards their financial goals. If there are any car truck enthusiasts in here, please help.
I don't have any suggestion on $10,000 vehicles or cheaper vehicles. I frankly haven't looked at a vehicle in 5 years or so. So I'm completely out of that market, because we continue to drive the vehicles that we have that are paid for and continue to, you know, just maintain them as needed. So I unfortunately am not much help here, Craig. We're going to have to look to you and your Consumer Reports for help here.
Well, Consumer Reports does typically, if I recall, go like, best cars under $5,000 or $10,000. What they do is, what are the best cars that are like 3 or 5 years old? You know what I'm saying? Like outside of that depreciation block that we always talk about, like you can lose up to 60% of a car's value in the first 3 years. That's where they start talking about used vehicles, but they do have older ones listed. I do constantly see Toyota, Honda, those typical same vehicles we keep talking about, are listed in general. I don't think I can say all the specific models they talk about, right. But in general, Toyota always seems to be in the top 10. Like
it does.
80% of the top 10 is Toyota. I don't own Toyota. I own Honda, but 80% of it, whether it says Lexus or Toyota, is like a majority of the top 10 for a 3-year-old vehicle. So I would start with that. That list, but it doesn't hurt to just pay for a subscription of Consumer Reports, and they have all the longevity reports of there based on people submitting information and what they can obtain themselves. They're very well known for vehicles. I would really be careful about any other online website, because there's a lot of sponsorships out there of websites and stuff like that. Even True Car has a little bit in there now, apparently. So be very leery about using a lot of these online review websites. Consumer Reports is the one place that has no advertising.
Right. And so they've got no outside influence.
I can't emphasize relying on reviews on YouTube. Really take that as a grain of salt, because I'm on websites where like influence.co, influencer.co, all these influencers are getting paid by these companies. All you got to do is record a review. They don't even own the product. They're getting paid to make these reviews on YouTube. And people that find that hard to believe, I can show you the website. I'm listed on there. I have not done any, but I am on there and I see all the offers all the time. Trust me, guys. Don't trust reviews on Facebook. Watch a bunch of them and hopefully you'll get a general idea like, oh, this guy really didn't like it. But a lot of them are paid. Be very careful. That's why I'm such a big Consumer Reports person. Yeah.
All right.
That was good.
Some great questions.
Yeah, I love that you wanted to do the review of the baby steps. That was really awesome. Thank you so much for that. That was really good. And that baby step 7, that's the best of them all.
Yeah, that's your goal.
Well, that's what you work up to, and then you don't have to worry about anything after that. All right, Amanda, thank you so much.
All right.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda, and you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. Okay.